o'clock hour, such that it is, of Wilde and Tausch begins now. All right, Tausch, in an effort to get back somewhat on the clock and get ready for Homer, who was scheduled at 10:30, but there's no way on earth we're getting to him. I do want to ask you this. We'll save Kenny Clark and we'll save trivia for a little bit later. I do want to ask this. So if you are holding out hope, if you're the Packers, and I personally don't believe that they are. I do believe this is subterfuge. I don't think he's going to play, and I don't think they think he's going to play. But
let's, for the record, I don't either.
For the sake of argument,
there's no chance.
For the sake of argument, would you think that a coach, in Matt LaFleur's case with Stenovich and Tom Clements, etc., do they have basically two? They put together two game plans. One, if Love is playing and he's limited in his ability to move. And then one for Malik Willis. Because there's, look, Malik Willis is taking all the one snaps this week, right? They have to give him every one of them that they can so he can get ready.
Yeah, I would say so.
Right?
Yeah.
So how do you practice if you're holding out hope of Jordan Love, or if inside the building they've said, look, we're going to play this game with Tausch and Wilde and Domofsky and all these other yahoos, but you ain't playing this week. It's much simpler, right?
Yeah, it would definitely be simpler if you just kind of made that decision. I think everybody would actually feel probably better about it, because if you're thinking Jordan Love, then you can't really be thinking, well, it's not really Jordan Love because he's going to be severely limited if he does play.
Right.
Then you have to kind of change that up. But that's more of on Jordan. And my guess would be, like you saw with Rodgers that Blue was talking about, you're probably not going to be able to do a bunch of under center stuff. Just like you couldn't do it with Rodgers because
right.
he couldn't
pistol.
Move. You had to go pistol and shoddy. So now this would be the case where I think you'll have a good inkling of what this is going to look like. You would have to adjust whatever play calls you had to put it in that form. And that limits what you can do offensively when you don't go under center, especially how Matt LaFleur likes doing things. So I think it'll be easier, especially if you're going to add some wrinkles with Malik Willis. I think you do that. And then if it turns out it's Sean Clifford, it's just whatever plays you had for Malik, mm-hmm. you probably take that package or whatever it would be out. And you would just run your basic offense
because he knows
that would be enough to beat the Colts.
Right.
Yes.
All right. We'll get to what Kenny Clark said about the field here coming up next, and we'll play trivia in the 11 o'clock hour. Tausch, tell us a little bit about what Fortrea's got going on. I'm fascinated by the six extra dollars that they have on that $13,000 program that they've got.
Oh, Fortrea. You know what? If you're looking for extra spending, you know how I gave you guys, hey, you want to go to Brazil? You want to get this? Bah, bah, bah. Well, Fortrea's got a couple of different studies if you're looking for a little extra cash. And Jason brought it up. This is the one that gets me. It's new. Women currently breastfeeding, ages 18 to 45 with a BMI of 18 to 35. Study is one stay of 5 nights with 5 follow-ups and a phoner. $10,125 for your time and participation. And if you refer a friend, you get another $500. And then the one Jason loves, healthy adults ages 18 to 60, BMI 18 to 32. If you got a Pella window that you're looking to pay for, might be a good study.
It's getting
for
here today.
One stay, 14 nights, 11 follow-ups, $13,000, not $5, not $7, $13,006 for your time and participation. Head over to FortreaClinicalTrials.com. That's Fortrea, F-O-R-T-R-E-A, clinicaltrials.com.
We'll continue this conversation, and we'll get to something that Kenny Clark said yesterday. Next, it's Wilde and Tausch.
Slow down on Monday.
All right, Tausch, I want you to hear something that friend of show Kenny Clark said. It was on Clubhouse Live, which is the weekly show that Gannett, Wisconsin does down in Appleton with Brett Christopherson, who's fantastic.
Is it Gannett or Gannett?
Gannett.
Gannett?
Yeah.
Okay. Soft. So a G-N? Gannett? Gannett?
Yeah. Is this like Galinda
G-N-E?
Or Galinda?
Is it like a soft G-N?
G.
Knight?
Well, no. Well, first of all, what?
Good night. Good night.
Good night. Were you going for night like night in shining armor, which is the silent K? Anyway, here's Kenny Clark talking about the surface at Arena Corinthians in Sao Paulo.
Yeah, it was. It was trash, man. That field, that was like the most. I didn't play it in snow. I didn't play it in rain. I ain't never played on a surface like that. So it was like, yeah, like clay coming out the ground. You got holes in the ground. It was a tough surface to play on. But I can see how soccer players can play on it because you can slide pretty far, you know, on that surface.
So we tried to be considerate and realize that, hey, you got to change cleats, right? It's part of the job as an NFL player when the surface is different than what you were expecting. You got to adjust. But this idea of playing games in foreign lands, which they want to play 16 international games, according to Roger Goodell, what is the solution for this? Because, or is there none, because they don't really care about player safety? Like, I'm surprised there weren't more injuries on a surface where the fact that he says there was clay coming out of the ground and that there were holes tells me this wasn't just a, oh, it's a soccer surface, it's different. It was a problematic surface for this sport to be played on it.
Yeah, they got to get fixed. And I think the NFL, they do, I think they want, they care, they want their players to play on good fields. They don't want to actually, they don't want to put all the money in to not play on turf in some spots. And that's a fair criticism. That's just the reality of the situation. But if you're going to continue to grow this game, and I'll give the NFL credit, they have fixed some things in their London games, because I remember these same conversations happening early in the London series where the soccer field couldn't hold up and it was slipping around.
You're right.
You know, they made some changes and some adjustments, and I haven't heard, you know, over in Tottenham, when the Packers played the Giants, I don't believe the field was a problem. I think they brought in some nice, beautiful grass.
Fake turf.
Was it perfect? I don't know. I'll let you guys figure that out.
Artificial turf. They took out the soccer field and put in artificial field turf is what they did for that game.
I felt like that was grass, but you might be right. Anyways, I think that they have to fix it and figure it out. If they're going to continue to do this, Kenny Clark's not lying to you.
Correct.
Your eyes aren't lying to you. Mm-hmm. In an era of misinformation, everything else, this happened, okay? And now it's, are you going to do something about it, or are you not care? Because players want to grow the game. Players want to make more money.
Yep.
Everybody's loving the fact that Dak Prescott's got $60 million, and, you know, Zach Tom's going to get somewhere between $25 and $30 million when he re-ups. Players love it, so they're willing. They're saying, okay, I see your vision, but get this blank fixed. Stop with this foolishness and putting us in harm's way. It's not going to cost you that much money. Don't put us on a high school soccer, or not a high school, but a soccer field that sucks. Okay?
Yep.
That should be a simple enough solution. So they have all the best researchers and agronomists and grass people and whatever other stuff they got. Fix it. Figure it out. And stop with all the other foolishness. You have plenty of time to organize this, handle it, and don't schedule a soccer game 5 days before you play. These are simple things that should be simple to fix. Now do it.
Yeah. And if you don't fix it, you're going to be hearing from Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all. David and his team, I don't know if they'll sue over field conditions. I can't speak for the firm on whether that falls underneath their purview, but I can tell you that if you do need their help, and you do need help with a injury that you suffered, a serious injury in an accident, they will have you covered. One call, that's all. That's all it takes. 414-276-6666. 414-276-6666. Gruber Law Offices, one call, that's all. We make a call to Steve the Homer True. He joins us next. It's Wildy and Tausch. You know what that music means. Joining us now, you hear him every weekday with a cavalcade of stars on the Homer Hour, including Bulaga, John Anderson, Rob Domofsky joins him once a week. I join twice a week, although I'd like to do 3 days a week if he'd have me. You can also hear him as the voice of Marquette Men's Basketball. And, of course, on God Talk on YouTube My Faith with Homer and Pip. It is Steve the Homer. True Homer, good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. Was that Sarah Couser I heard doing a commercial?
That was for the Prairie Athletic Club. Join the pack today.
Is that a first, or is that...
She's been doing it for 8 years.
Oh, first time I heard it. On our station?
Maybe you should listen more.
Yes. Yes, on ESPN Madison. Yeah.
I listen way too much. I need to cut back and listen like you.
What do you mean? What is that supposed to mean?
You don't listen much. You don't listen much.
I listen all the time. What are you talking about?
All right. Okay. Never mind.
All right. Tausch, what
John Anderson's a great high jumper, right? Isn't he a great long jumper slash high jumper?
Don't sell the lie. Just live with it.
Selling the bluff.
It, we'll move on.
Okay. Tausch, what are you going to tell Homer he thinks today?
Now, don't do that, Jason. Why do you needle? Why do you needle?
Nicely
like that?
Done.
Homer, what would
Homer,
you like Tausch
are
to
you
give
holding
you
out any hope?
For you on?
Are you, I'm not going to do that right now. Are you holding out any hope that Jordan Love plays Sunday?
Very little, but you know, probably none. I was willing to bet you don't remember. If somebody should listen to the post-game show, I said, I'll bet you any amount of money he doesn't play one game. You, of course, didn't want to mention anything, didn't want to speculate at all.
Oh, sounds like me.
Or whatever it is. I won't try to figure out why. But yeah, I said he's not going to.
Because we didn't know. We didn't know anything what was going on.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, we did. Yes.
You thought he was out for the year.
I did not. Again, go watch. You don't even listen to the shows you're on when I'm talking. I got to add a new level.
Now, Homer, that's funny now.
It's funny because it's true. So why are we bothering with this subterfuge then, in your opinion, since you don't think he's going to play? What is the upside of this?
I think, no, Blog is right. That maybe 5%, 10%. We should all be having a parade. I have had Bailey's on the Rocks after each of my shows because I'm so happy. Fireball on the Rocks. Sorry, Bailey's was previous to Fireball. Everybody.
I don't even remember what you drank.
No, I do remember what I drank. I just speak wrong now when you're old. It happens.
Oh, okay.
Anyway,
Jason.
So I thought I was going to have, and anybody who doesn't admit there was a part of this, I thought I was going to have 16 weeks of hell because I thought he might be out for the rest of the season. I didn't know for sure, but that was a possibility. Now, this is awesome. The party should still be going on. We should be having a parade down Wisconsin Avenue because he's going to miss a few weeks, but there's still a season, and the Packers have the ability to achieve any goal that they thought they had before he got hurt, so it will be a little more difficult. This is party time, baby. I might have to leave now. This isn't my show. I can go have a little Fireball on the Rock. I'll do the segment.
Well, you can have the Fireball, I suppose. I don't think it's really going to significantly change how this segment goes with you.
Nice.
So then where is your confidence level in – because, look, I never thought I'd see this happen, but give Tausch credit. He calls him like he sees him. Sometimes he's a little biased in favor of Goody, but he made an excellent point, which he also cited that he got from someone else on Get Up, I think he said. The idea that...
He mentioned that Goody sucks at getting backup quarterbacks?
Well, it was kind of along those lines. The point he made, since I know you weren't listening, was that they could have gone out and gotten a quarterback with greater experience in this style of system. They didn't do that. They got Malik Willis. Now, they didn't expect him to have to play right away, but even in Brian Callahan's offense, Brian Callahan had been the offensive coordinator for the Bengals, which run a similar scheme with Zach Taylor as their head coach, Mike Sherman's son-in-law. Matt LaFleur admitted there's not nearly as much carryover from the Callahan offense that Willis spent all offseason and training camp in to his own offense, and he was surprised by that. So what's realistic to expect from Malik, what you talking about Willis, in this game?
By the way, I like to join Tausch's club, fantastic club. The question to ask before I answer that one is, and why the hell did he pick him up and trade for him?
His potential.
Well, but recognizing and being aware of the opinion that was just stated by LaFleur?
Yeah, I mean, he said that afterward, and he said that, I think, because as Brian, the doctor of football, as you call him, pointed out, they didn't look, Jordan Love was durable last year. Now, obviously, you never know what's going to happen in a game, but there's no way in God's green earth that they were expecting that Malik Willis would be playing in week two. There's no way they were anticipating
that. Pick up a guy that knows the system better? I mean, no one has come up with one positive thing about Malik. Oh, not yet. I haven't heard one. Not one.
Yeah, we talked about this yesterday when you and John Anderson and I were speaking. I do think part of it, and Tausch said what I said, which is I've looked a little bit at what he did in Tennessee. There's not a lot of great information on him, so if there are things that you would want to be able to say positive about him, there's a small sample size. Had they traded for Taylor Heinicke, as we discussed toward the end of training camp on this show, then at least we would say, well, look what he did in Washington in this game, and look what he did against the Packers in this game for Washington. There's just not a lot to go on with Malik Willis. There just isn't.
Yeah, there is. He can run. No, he can run. He's a good runner. That's what he is. Can't throw a lick, but he's a good runner. You know, he's in the mold of Cam Newton, Justin Fields, whatever. Like, he is. He has skills running the ball as a quarterback. I mean, those are the numbers that showed up when he did start, right? He had good rushing yards.
Yeah, he had a decent preseason.
I mean, you can't, right now, does it make sense to us? No. It doesn't make sense to me. Obviously, they looked at this as he's more talented. Sean Clifford has not taken that step that we're hoping for. Michael Pratt is not where he needed to be, or they would have kept him. So this was, we're upgrading our talent. Now it's up to the coaches to develop. And not all plans work the way you want. This is not the plan, is to have him potentially have to play in the second week when he's not even been here 20 days. Now you have to see, all right.
Yeah. No, this is an amazing phenomenon. He has the ability to make people say they should have played Clifford. Now, there seemed to be no chance of that whatsoever, but that's what I'm expecting will happen during the game against the Colts. At some point.
Yeah, I do wonder how short will that be where if Malik Willis stinks and he's struggling, he turned the football over, he's just completely ineffective, do you go to Sean Clifford? Mm-hmm. Is it a quarter? Is it a half? How you look at that, because Sean Clifford's going to get elevated, right? He's going to be elevated on Sunday. So then what is that going to look like from the coaching staff standpoint, how they plan this out? Because right now, I think they're going to sit and hope that Malik Willis will not make any mistakes. The defense will play well, create some turnovers, and do it. Now, if I'm the Colts, I'm going to come in here and I'm going to say, a lot like what Pittsburgh did to Atlanta last week. We don't think Atlanta can move the ball. We're not going to be risky. We're going to play pretty conservative, too, and see if their offense, if Green Bay's offense can move it against us. We're not going to hand you anything. And I think that's a different mentality when you have Malik Willis playing, obviously, over what Jordan Love would be doing.
Yeah, just find a way to get the ball. The Jaden Reed, the topic that should be on everybody's mind, but it's not.
Leading the league in receiving.
Question. Will Clifford play this week? I believe he will.
Good poll question. It's a really good poll question.
Well, I got a lot of poll questions to get into the field. Homer, you.
Oh, by the way, Russell Wilson should be in the Wisconsin Hall of Fame.
So should Tausch then.
No, come on.
Don't know.
Russell
man.
Wilson will be the only player in the history of the school to get in only 1 year.
I think you're going to be right. I think you're going to be right. And I'm not saying he shouldn't get in.
You just want to get
in
too?
He was there 6 months. Guys. He was there six months.
I agree.
And lost three games and didn't win a Rose Bowl. I mean, those are the facts of the situation.
Correct.
Hey, 6 months he was in Madison. That's what he was here.
And what's your point? And what?
Three losses, no Rose Bowls.
Right.
Period.
Right.
Yeah. That's what happened.
He did not win a Rose Bowl. It's true. Truth.
That's correct. Yes. Is it also accurate that he had one of the great seasons ever in the history of college football?
He played very well. Yes, he did.
Yeah.
And he snubbed Tausch at some sort of red carpet event.
I would tell you this. Mike Samuel, I don't even know if Brooks Bollinger's in. I'm sure if he's not, he should be. Mike Samuel won a Rose Bowl. Should he be in?
No. No.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know.
So basically, Homer's just saying, give me stats. I don't care about winning. Which is fine if that's how you feel. That's great.
Who's the long snapper on the Rose Bowl team? Should he be in the Rose Bowl?
Don't do it. Come on. Okay, Homer. Now you're being ridiculous. You're being absolutely ridiculous, and you know
that. Yes, I meant to be ridiculous because you started it. You were being ridiculous.
Oh, I started it. Okay.
You did. Winning a Super Bowl or winning a Rose Bowl does not automatically guarantee. But I want to emphasize, only one.
Now, we got three of them, so yeah. The three quarterbacks that started a Rose Bowl shouldn't be in the UW Athletic Hall of Fame. Okay.
Just for point of order, the 27.
That's literally what you just said.
The 2017 class of the UW Athletic Hall of Fame, I believe, I know our memories don't always succeed.
I'm pretty sure Bollinger got in.
Both Brooks Bollinger and Daryl Bevel were in that class, and I think they both joined us because that was after our show had started as they were heading in. So those guys got
Congratulations to both.
Mike Lacrone
both
was also
very
in
well
that
deserved,
class.
By the way.
Indeed, no doubt about it.
I'm willing to.
Yeah, I love how Homer's acting like winning a Rose Bowl is like you snap your fingers. Hey, Homer, three times in 126 years or whatever it is, 136 years? Come on.
Okay.
Come on.
Here's what
Come on,
you
man.
Do. Here's what you do. You recognize that by
Come on,
putting
man.
The team, if you want, into the Hall of Fame. You ain't putting every player individually in the Hall of Fame just because the team.
Okay, so is Eli Manning going to get in? Eli Manning going to get in the Hall of Fame?
Should get in. Yes, yes, and he should get in the Hall of Fame.
Okay, I'm not. I won't argue with you. He's got two rings. I get you.
1991.
Yeah, no, not just two rings. He beat New England twice, once against a team that would have been ranked as the greatest team ever if they had beaten New York.
It'd have been right there, yeah.
He didn't just win.
Fair.
Yes.
Steve?
That's fair. So,
but it's going to take him a while. He's not.
But, Homer, before you go, can you just admit that comparing Mike Samuel, the starting quarterback on a Rose Bowl winning team, to the long snapper is not a fair critique? Can you just admit that?
It is
that?
Not. I want to apologize to him because
to the long snapper
to be an appreciation of how good he was. He just couldn't throw a lick, and so that's what you hold against him. But yes, I need to assess and look back. It might be that he should also be in the Wisconsin Hall of Fame. But I don't. I just remember he couldn't. He couldn't. He was a horrible passer, but tough player. And yes. What you said, I apologize. That was going too far.
I'm sorry he couldn't throw a lick and horrible passer, but I don't appreciate what a good player he was. Homer, we always enjoy our time with you. Thanks.
Bye.
1991 is when they began the UW Athletic Hall of Fame. They had a huge inaugural class. Perhaps the Wilde and Tausch Hall of Fame will take a page out of their playbook. And perhaps AmFam, which is a supporter of the UW Athletic Department and the Athletic Hall of Fame, will be part of the Wilde and Tausch Hall of Fame as well.
Oh, that would be great. Hey, Packer fans, looking for the ultimate game day experience? American Family Insurance has you covered. Picture this. Hitting your very own VIP tailgate and then cheering on your favorite Green Bay Packers. Not from some corner end zone spot or from jaw dropping seats. Enter the Dream Weekend Sweepstakes to win amazing game tickets, a private tailgate, exclusive Jordan Love merch, and much, much more. That sounds incredible, right? Well, don't miss out. Go to amfam.com/Packers to enter. No purchase is necessary. Got to enter by the stroke of midnight on October 21st. You can see official rules at amfam.com/Packers. Dream fearlessly, insure carefully.
you kind of went into that like weird, creepy voice for a little while there too, early on in that read. And
I want you to picture this.
Be great if you could retire that,
breath.
If you could. The 10 o'clock hour continues. We got one more segment left. Stick around. It's Wildy and Tausch. We heard Homer say that he hasn't heard anyone say anything good about Malik Willis, which is not entirely true, because I have said on his program multiple times, I am fascinated by his talent and his potential. I just don't have any evidence based on what he did.
You're fascinated by it?
I am. I mean, he was in a conversation coming out of being the top court. I get to be fascinated by what I want to be fascinated by.
You can be. I'm fascinated that you're I can be fascinated by your fascination.
Because I remember him coming out in the draft, and in the early process, all the talk was about he was the top quarterback in that class heading into the combine out of Liberty. And then I thought of Sam Congato out of Liberty, and I thought, the best quarterback is going to be a guy at Liberty? And so I was interested in him. And then he gets caught in this regime change in Tennessee, which, again, you've taught us that while you had a great career, part of it was you went to the right place. And had you gone to Seattle, you might not have had the career you had. So he went to one of the worst scenarios he could have. They were going to sit him for a year or two behind Tannehill and have him then be their quarterback. And instead, they have to play him, and then a new coach and a new GM come in, and he's gone. So, in fairness to him, he got caught in a bad situation. I'm fascinated if they can develop him, what he can become.
Yeah, I guess I'm curious to see what he can do. We've seen what he could do at the NFL level, and it has not been great, period. So, does that mean that it's going to stay that way? Sam Darnold struggled, and then he had a great game last week against a really bad team.
True.
Is he going to sustain that? Or do you think Minnesota's banking on Sam Darnold being a stud all year? I don't know. That's the beauty of this business, man.
Yeah.
Like, stuff happens. Well, and I'm curious to see what Malik Willis could do. I'm definitely not fascinated by it.
I feel like Goody's track record with quarterbacks has not been very good. In beyond Jordan
except
Love.
Except for the home run he hit, and he just paid the guy $220 million. But yeah, outside of that, he stunk. Like, I don't know what to tell you.
Wait,
he stinks at selected quarterbacks. Doesn't he have a franchise quarterback he's paying $55 million to?
Yeah, he also wanted to draft Drew Lock.
Yeah, but he didn't. I wanted to go to Fond du Lac at one of those gas stations and buy that lottery ticket. And if I would have, I'd have won the lottery, but I didn't.
I kind of wish you'd go to Fond du Lac right now. Let's get a call in before the 11 o'clock hour.
Let's talk. I mean, come on.
Let's talk to John. Let's talk to Jonathan in Green Bay. Jonathan.
That's close to Fond du Lac.
How you doing today? Help.
Hey, fellas. Good morning. How are you?
We're good. How are you?
Good,
you're
are
pro
you?
Malik Willis, and you've got some insight on the MCL for us. What do you got?
I do. So the first statement I'll make is I've been an emergency physician for about 25 years. I've also had this injury. I had a grade one when I was younger. It's really a pain tolerance issue. It's not structural.
That's what Tom said.
The ACL and the PCL are the primary ligaments that provide the structural integrity of the knee. So it's really pain management. And these guys get world-class treatment. They get, they have physiatrists and therapists, and they're icing, and they're doing all this other stuff. And they're world-class athletes. So it would not be beyond the realm of my imagination to think that Jordan might be practicing in 10 days. He might be practicing in
10 days. Jonathan, is he playing on Sunday?
No, I don't believe so. I believe that that's schadenfreude. I agree with that.
Thank you.
Or subterfuge, or whatever.
Subterfuge. We like both. But if you listen to the show regularly, you know we like Schadenfreude and subterfuge. Both of our favorites, yes. So why do you... So Jonathan, since I've completely mismanaged the clock, let me just ask you this so we can get to the 11 o'clock hour. What do you like about Malik Willis? Because there are some naysayers involved here.
I've watched Malik Willis's tape from Liberty. He reminds me, and this might be a little bit of a stretch. I'm being hyperbolic here a little bit, but he reminds me of Michael Vick. And I think that people are vastly underestimating his arm talent. That guy has a big arm, and he can run. Mm-hmm. I mean, he is fast, and he has a big arm. He's about Mike Vick's size, maybe a little thicker. But, mm-hmm. you know, the guy, he went to a place where quarterbacks go to die. I mean, and now, you know, he's got Tom Clements. He's coming up to Green Bay. And if they can develop anything out of him, I don't think that there's any reason to believe that we couldn't win a couple of these next games. I don't. I think people are underestimating what LaFleur and him will be able to do. I mean,
see? Some might say this is a fascinating possibility. Of course, Tausch wouldn't. He just would say he's curious. Jonathan, thanks for your insight. We appreciate you.
Thanks a lot, fellas. Have a good day. Appreciate it.
I don't know. I don't know about Michael Vick.
So just wait a second. He's Michael Vick. Jason's
That's not what he said.
Now
he specifically said he was being hyperbolic.
We got the second coming of Mike Vick coming to Green Bay. That's great.
He said he was being hyperbolic. But he drew the comparison.
He said Mike Vick.
He did.
He said Michael Vick.
He did say that. He also said he was being hyperbolic. Would you say you were being hyperbolic if you said that Coors Light is the greatest liquid beverage known to man in the history of the world?
I love Coors Light. It's brewed with a three-step cold process, cold lager, cold filtered, and it is cold packaged, so it's made to chill, and I make sure those mountains are blue. That's when I know Coors Light's cold activated bottles and cans are chilled to perfection. That's why it is Coors Light in my hand. When I need a moment to chill, celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company at Golden, Colorado.
All right, we're going to kick off the 11 o'clock hour tardy, but there's a text from Zach in Edgerton, Edgewood, Edgeville.
It is Edgerton.
That's what I thought.
As some call it.
Zach in Edgerton, that piqued my interest on the text line. We'll kick off the 11 o'clock hour there. Then we'll play trivia and Will Riley. That's all still ahead, so stick around. It's Wildy and Tausch.